You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions, and thank you for joining me today. Abide in Him is the title of this devotion. Here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "And now, little children, abide in Him," the title of this devotion, "that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." You could see very clearly here what allows us to live in readiness for His coming is to abide in Him. Christ invites us to abide in Him, that He is our life, and that we perceive Him, recognize Him, acknowledge Him within ourselves. And that is quite a wonderful work of grace, that you may know Christ dwelling in you by His Holy Spirit, that you begin to recognize the difference between His nature and yours, that you could clearly see when you are abiding in Him, there's His love, there's His peace, there's His joy, there's His kindness, His goodness, His long-sufferance, His faithfulness, where when you are not, you fall short of these graces. You see, all of us have sinned, it says in Romans 3:23, and fallen short of His glory. But it is through Jesus Christ that we become partakers of His glory, of His life He has in the Father that He now reveals in us. And Jesus was wanting to share these things with His disciples, but He understood that until they received the Holy Spirit, they could not understand these things. Jesus says in John chapter 16, okay, John 16, He says, "I still have many things," verse 12, "to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." I would love to tell you that what you see in me, you will see in yourself. But they could not comprehend how such a thing is possible, because there was still the separation until there was the exaltation, and the life that He had received in heaven from the Father, He could now give into us, being God. He was able, through the purchase price of His blood, accepted before the Father by Him receiving the gift of the Father, the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:33, 34 talks about this, that He is able to give into us what He has with the Father, because He is there, the Son of Man, representing us. The life that He has with the Father, He has for us in the Father to reveal in us. And Jesus says before He went to heaven, "I have so much I want to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. You can't connect with it. It doesn't make sense to you." But He says, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you of things to come. He will glorify Me. He will manifest Me. He will make Me known," is what that means. "For He will take of what's Mine and declare it, unveil it, reveal it to you. All things the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said, He, the Holy Spirit, will take of what is Mine and declare, unveil, and reveal it in you." You see, then we go to chapter 14, please, of the Gospel of John, verse 16. Jesus says on the night before He went to the cross, "I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever." Just that statement. Let that deeply penetrate your heart. Let it become such a force of faith inside of you. Faith comes by the word living in our heart. that you believe the Holy Spirit abides with me forever, that no matter how human you feel, or no matter how hard the devil punches you with his deceptive feelings that God's not there, you believe, you believe, you believe. Oh, how often when the devil's punching me and punching me, trying to get my attention with his feelings of despair, with his feelings of the absence of God, with his feelings of hopelessness, with his feelings of forsaken abandonedness of God. And he's trying to punch me with those feelings to try to break through into my consciousness. I keep saying in my heart through the shield of faith, I believe, Father. I believe, because I believe the Holy Spirit abides with me forever. Oh, hallelujah. Let this breakthrough into every thought of your heart and mind to eradicate all question and doubt, no matter how you feel. I believe the Holy Spirit abides with me forever. And then he says, now, the Spirit of truth, he says, he will abide with you forever, verse 16, verse 17 of John 14. The Spirit of truth, he's talking about, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He's talking about after his glorification, how it will come from our inner man, the Holy Spirit. And he says, he will be in you. Amen. You know him. The world cannot receive him. It's important you need realize that you have to be born again. You have to have Christ come in you to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Without Christ in you, you cannot know, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's there, but he cannot dwell in you unless Christ is your Savior and your Lord. The world cannot receive him, but praise God for all of us who have Jesus as our Lord. He baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. Listen now, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. I am in the Father, you in me, I am in you. Abide in him is the readiness for his appearing. How can I, my dear pastor, be ready for the coming of the Lord? What must I do to be ready? Abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abide, stay. One dear man whom I love deeply with my heart and for whom I've prayed for so many years, he went away. Oh, he was so upset. And then he came and tried to really come against me with all that upsetness. Eventually, to make the story short, I got him to sit down and laid hands upon him, and all the evil that was tormenting him, all the evil that was afflicting him, left him. And there was that sweet man that I know. There's that man that belongs to Jesus. Oh, it was sweet. And I said, here you are. Now you can hear me. He said, yes, Pastor. His whole spirit was changed. His whole mannerism, his voice, his heart, all the evil was gone. He said, yes, Pastor, but I only have that when I'm with you. You see, we need one another to encourage each other to abide in him. My dear friends, take the encouragement today. Abide in Jesus. Let your roots grow deep into him as you daily draw your nourishment for living as he lives from your union with him. Believe he is with you. Jesus said, I will come to you. I will come to you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Maybe you don't feel the Lord at all. Maybe you feel so barren in your human nature. There's no fruit of the Spirit there. There's only the failings and the weaknesses of your human nature. And you feel so destitute. You feel so lost. You feel so empty. You feel so lonely. Jesus says, I will come to you. I will come to you. and you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. You will know through your union with me, through your abiding in me, that you have perfect fellowship with the Father in me and through me. And I will come and live in you by my Spirit. Oh, then in verse 23 here of chapter 14, he says, my Father will love you, and we will come and make our home with you. Jesus brings the knowledge of the Father in you. To live ready for his appearing is to abide in him, dear friends. Live in perfect union with him. In Colossians chapter 2, I believe it is. Let me look it up. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 first. To them, that's to you and me, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants to make known in you what are the riches of this perfect, amazing, wonderful relationship you are given with him through his Son living in you. All that Jesus was on the cross, my friends, we know. He was crucified for our offenses. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement due us, the punishment due us, was upon him, so that by his wounds, his stripes, we may be healed. You know this, that Christ was crucified for you. But as much as he was crucified for you, so much is he glorified for you, so that the heavenly holy life he has there for us as our representative, as the Son of Man, he can now give in us by his Spirit, friends. And it's God's will to make known to you the mystery of this glory, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the readiness for his appearing. And then it says in chapter 2, verse 6 of Colossians, okay? As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. You know, when in the church they say, receive Jesus in your heart, that is all good language. That is true Christian. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, that he is standing at the door of our lives, of our hearts, knocking. And he says, if any hear my voice and open to me, I will come into him and dine with him. In other words, I will partake of your life while you partake of mine, and the two will become one. You see, it is not like somebody coming into a house or a building where the building itself has no image of you. It is made of wood or of bricks, of mortar and clay, so to speak. But the house itself, the building itself, does not emanate you. You can decorate it after your style and all of that, and there may be some identification there. But the walls do not embody you. How different it is with Christ coming to dwell in us by his Spirit. He takes on our nature as we are given to take on his nature, and the two become one. Having the remnant of the Holy Spirit, we become one, and we begin to emanate his heavenly life as he begins to bear our earthly life and infuse it with his love, with his peace, with his joy, with his humility, with his meek, kind, lowly, beautiful, loving, serving nature. And we begin to embody him as he partakes of our weak nature and carries it in love and carries it with grace. Oh, my loving Savior, abide in him. There is absolutely no other way to live ready for the coming of the Lord but to abide in him. And you may say, Yeah, but Pastor Robert, that is my challenge. I'm indifferent. I'm idle. I'm spiritually lazy. I get distracted by television, by movies, by friendships, by entertainments, by foods, by everything else. And I understand that. I'm just as human as you are. But that is the wonder of our loving Savior. It is the will of the Father to reveal His Son in you, as I read to you from Colossians 1:27. It's the Father who wills to make known in you what is the mystery, what is the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the Father who works His will by His Spirit to draw you to His Son, so that through His Son you may receive a warm welcome in the Father's presence. It's the Father who's drawing you. Jesus said in John 6:44, nobody can come to me unless the Father draws him. As it is written in the scroll of the book, all who've heard and learned from the Father come to me. Jesus understood that it was the Father moving by His Spirit, like He hovered over the deep, and where that was void and without form, and He hovered over the deep, and the breath of His life came, speaking His word, and it began to manifest in the darkness, in the void, and it gave form and substance to that which was not. So so we know by faith that the things that can be seen were not formed by the things visible, but by the Word of God. And the same, that's Hebrews 11:3. And the same is true for you and me. You may say, yeah, but I am indifferent. I'm idle. I'm spiritually lazy. I get distracted. I'm not doing what I should. And I understand that feeling. But I believe there's a power that can overshadow all that failing, all that weakness. And that is the love of our loving Heavenly Father drawing you to abide in Jesus. Come on, friends. All I ask you to do is to trust, to believe that even in your weakness, His strength is made perfect. That's why Joel says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let me close with you here from the Gospel of John, where Jesus is speaking about Himself being the vine and we the branches. He says in John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. And look at it. And my Father is the vine dresser. It's the Father that draws you and brings you into Christ. It's the Father that pulls on you to come into Christ. And He keeps pulling. It's almost like an elastic band. As you pull away, you feel that, oh, Lord, help me. No, oh, Lord, I need more of you. Oh, Lord, I need more of you. That's the Father pulling you back into Christ, pulling you into Christ, you see. He says, the Father is the vine dresser, and every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes so that it may bear more fruit. It is an absolute work of grace for you to become fruitful in Jesus. It's a work of grace, friends. Trust the Heavenly Father to help you to abide in Him. Talk to the Father about that indifference. Talk to Him about those distractions. I'll give you a simple example in my own life. I would come home from somewhere and I didn't feel right away to go to bed, and I would sit on the sofa and turn on the television, and I'd click a channel and it's dead spiritually to me. The next channel, and I would just click the channels, and after a little while I'd think, oh, it's all dead to me. I don't feel any nourishment coming. I don't feel anything pulling in me forward, and I'd turn it off and go to bed. And then it just came to my conscience from the love of the Savior that that would make me vulnerable to see images that wouldn't be healthy for my soul to see, and that I would then need cleansing with the blood of Christ. And yes, He's ready to cleanse me, but rather have me not be touched by any of it. And I just became aware of it by the Holy Spirit, that sitting there clicking for a little while on the remote was maybe making myself vulnerable. And so I said, Father, I don't like it that I do this. There's nothing there for me. It's all dead to me. It has no life. It doesn't feed my hungry soul. Only you feed my hungry soul, my Father. Father, take this from me that I don't do this. It was like a habit that I did it anyway. I'd forget about it, and afterwards I would think, oh, I shouldn't do this. And not because I watched something I shouldn't watch. No, but just making myself vulnerable. And I said, Lord, take it out. I have nothing in me to turn on the TV when I come home. No, I leave it where it is. I'm not saying I never watch something, but I'm careful about it. I'm careful about it. And I usually only do it with Virginia. She's really good at it. She's so innocent and pure of heart. So she helps me also what choices to make. And sure, sometimes I see something and it's not good for my soul. I'm not talking about pornography or whatever. I'm just something too harsh or language that just doesn't, it buffets me. And then I turn it off and I feel that and I go, Holy Spirit, cleanse my heart. I like to keep my heart free from any consciousness of such things. I like to have a tender conscience before the Father because then I perceive Him, I recognize Him, I acknowledge Him. And this is the Heavenly Father pulling in you, helping you and me. And I'm only giving that as an example. Don't take it as a correction for yourself. To abide in Him. And He says this in closing. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Oh, how wonderful when the word connects with you and cleanses you. Meditate on that thought. When you read the Bible, you hear it preach, and it connects with you and cleanses you. The revelation of it, the renewing of it, the reviving of it in your heart and mind is the cleansing power. And He says, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And just read the rest for yourself. I can do nothing unless I abide in him. The Lord says to you and me today, come. Abide in me. I am with you. Amen. Have a good day.